Okay, we are starting the second parak of Maseches Chagiga, Daf Yud Aleph Beis. The second parak does eventually get back to Karban Chagiga stuff, but not for the first five blot. The first five blot are all Agadot about how God created the world and about what goes on up in Shemayim and the people who were privy to see what goes on up in Shemayim and what happened to them because of that. So now we begin Yud Aleph Beis. Ein Dorshin Ba'arayos B'Shalosha. The Mishnah says you cannot teach about Arayos with three people. V'lo B'Maisa B'Rashis B'Shnayim. We also don't teach about the creation of the world with two people. V'lo B'Merkava B'Yachad. We don't teach about God's chariots, God's throne, so to speak, with only one person. Eliyim Kein Hayachacham U'Mevin Midaito. Unless that one person is eminently qualified. He's wise and he understands things on his own. Anyone who looks at four things, it would have been better for him not to have ever come into this world if he's going to look at these four things. And they are Mala Mala, what's above the Rakia, Mala Mata, what's below the Rakia, Malifnim, what happened before, before creation, Umala Achor, and what happens after creation. And anyone who's not concerned about the honor of his creator, of God, is as if it would have been better for him not to have come into this world. So main point number one, a person is not allowed to teach Arayos to three people, Maisa Bereshis to two people, Maisa Merkava to one person. And number two, someone who looks at four things or is not worried about the honor of his creator would have been better off never have been created in the first place. Someone who doesn't look at four who looks at four things or who isn't worried about the honor of his creator would have been better off never having been created. So this is a rare situation where even the Mishnah that begins the Agadata Gemara is an Agadic Mishnah. It's not just a tangent when we get into the Agadata. The Mishnah itself is Agadata. So it says the Gemara, Amrit Bereisha V'lova Merkava B'Yachad. The Reisha said, you're not allowed to teach the Maisa Merkava with just one person. V'hadar Amrit Elim Keino Yechachum Mevin Midaito. Then it said, unless it's a person who understands things on his own. So what do you mean? If it's a person who understands things on his own, that's okay, then what do you mean you're not allowed to teach it with one person? One person obviously understands it on his own, otherwise he's not learning anything. So one line sounds like one person cannot learn Maisa Merkava, and the other line sounds like that if it's one person who understands things on his own, he can learn Maisa Merkava. So says Mara Hachikama, this is what we mean to say. Ein Dorshin Be'arayos Lishlosha. It doesn't mean that a group of three people can't learn about Arayos. It means that if you're a rabbi teaching about Arayos, you shouldn't teach it to a group of three students. That's a bad number of students to teach Arayos to. V'lo b'maisa bereishis lishnayim. You shouldn't teach about maisa bereishis two students. Not that two people can't learn maisa bereishis, but one person can't teach it to two others. V'lo b'merkava liyachid. And maisa merkava, one person on his own could learn about it because he understands it on his own, but you're not allowed to teach it to a single individual. Elim kein hayachacham mevin midaito, unless that individual is able to understand it on his own. Ein dorshin ba'arayos b'shlosha. So ask the Gemara, my time, why can't you teach arayos to three students? What's the problem with teaching arayos to three students? So the Gemara is going to have three possibilities. Possibility number one, when the pasuk talks about the forbidden relationships, the arayos, it uses the word ish twice and then says she'er b'saro, a relative. So maybe we learn from there. Ish, trey. The two times we use the word ish teaches us two students. She'er b'saro, chad. That adds one more student. And therefore we say you're not supposed to be doresh b'arayos to three people. Because the pasuk goes on to say lo sikrevu legalos erva, that don't do arayos. So maybe we can understand a deeper interpretation of the pasuk is not just not to do arayos, but not even to learn arayos when there are three people that you're learning it with. But if that's really where we derive this halacha from, elameata, if that's the case, D'chsiv ish ish ki yikalel elokav. When the Torah talks about cursing God, and it's used the word ish ish, or ish ish asher yitin mizar lemolech. Torah talks about serving the avodah zarah called molech, and it also uses the term ish ish. Hachinami, you also want to tell me that it's only talking about you're not allowed to learn about these things with two people because it says ish ish twice? Do you make the same drasha? No, elahanu mi bayle l'rabus esanachrim. The reason it says ish ish when it talks about cursing God and when it talks about avodah zarah is to tell us that even a goy is obligated in those yisurim. Shemusharin al birchas Hashem va'al avodah zarah ki Yisrael. Even a goy is not allowed to curse God. We call it birchas Hashem because we can't even say the words cursing God. It's too terrible for us to say. So we use a euphemism. We call it birchas Hashem. Even when it comes to cursing God and when it comes to doing avodah zarah, even a goy is included. That's what we learn from ish ish. So it must be by Arayos also, that's what Ish Ish is teaching me. Hainami, over here also by Arayos, mi bayle l'rabos asanachrim, shemusharon al Arayos ki Yisrael. We need the Ish Ish, the double use of the word Ish, to tell me that a guy is also mitzuvah on Arayos. A guy is also commanded in Arayos. So where do we get the idea that you can't teach Arayos to three people? It's not from Ish Ish. Ish Ish teaches that a guy is included in Arayos. So possibility number two. Elamid d'chsiv is from a different pasuk. Pasuk says, Ushmartem es mishmarti. Ushmartem trei. The word Ushmartem implies two people. Mishmarti chad. The word mishmarti adds one more person. And the pasuk goes on to say, Levilti asos mechukos atuevos. Don't do these things. So it's saying, don't do the learning about Arayos in a group of three people. Elameata, but if that's the case, then every other time it says the word Ushmartem, it's going to be talking about learning it with two people. Elameata d'chsiv, Ushmartem es haShabbos. Talks about being Shomer Shabbos. Ushmartem es haMatzos. You have to guard over your matzos. Ushmartem es Mishmeres haKodesh. Guarding the Mishmeres haKodesh. Hachinami, over there also. Do we mean to say that it's only about a certain number of people that you're allowed to learn about these things with? No, that's not at all what it's talking about. Ella Amaravashi, my Ein Dorshin Ba'arayos Peshlosha. You know what Ein Dorshin Ba'arayos Peshlosha means? It doesn't mean you're not allowed to learn about Arayos with three people. It means Ein Dorshin Besisrei Arayos. You shouldn't learn about those Arayos that are not explicit in the Torah, that we really need to derive from drashos, that it doesn't say explicitly in the Torah. The Torah says certain people you're not allowed to sleep with explicitly. A married woman, for example. Certain things are explicit, but other things we have to derive. That you shouldn't do if there are only three students in front of you. My taima, why not? Svaruhu, it's not based on any pasuk, it's logical. Beitrei kiasvi kamei rabayhu. When you have two students sitting in front of the Rebbe, chad shakal v'tari bahadi Rebbe, the way it would work is one of them would engage in discussion with the Rebbe, v'idach matzli udnei l'gemara, and the other one would listen with one ear as he's learning. He'd listen to what's going on in the conversation. So if the Rebbe says anything, the guy who's not engaged in the conversation will hear what's going on, so he's not going to miss anything. But plus, if you have three students in front of the Rebbe, here's how it's going to work. Chad shakal v'tari bahade Rabbe. One of them is going to engage in discussion with the Rebbe. V'hanach trei shakal v'tari bahade adadi. And the other two are going to learn b'chavrusa. And they're going to ignore what the Rebbe is saying because they're learning with each other. V'lo yadi maikama rabayu. And they're not going to know what the Rebbe is saying. And therefore, they're going to miss something important. Va'asu l'mishri yisura barayos. They're going to come to be matir. Certain arayos are going to come to permit arayos. And that's terrible. Ihachi kalatoranami. So the Gemara says, well, then why is that only about not learning arayos, not teaching arayos to three students? You shouldn't be able to teach, Shabbos to three students because the students may miss something in Hilchos Shabbos. Or tzitzis because they may miss something in Hilchos Tzitzis. Anything, the whole Torah. Why is it arayos that's singled out? Answers Gemara, Arayos shiny. Arayos is different. Damar Gezel va Arayos nafsho machmadason umesavalhem. There are two averos for which our Yetzer Hara is strongest, and that is stealing and our rayos. The yetzer hara is so great that we're gonna more likely come up with a leniency and come up with a kula and be matir something if we don't hear very well exactly what the halach is. So says Gemara, okay, well then ihachi gezel nami. Then you shouldn't be allowed to teach about gezel to three students either. Why is it only arayos that the Mishnah singles out? Gemara answers, arayos bein befanav bein shelo befanav nafesh yitzrei. Because arayos, our powers of imagination are so great that whether we see the arayos in front of us or not, our yetzer hara is still very powerful. Gezel, stealing is a powerful yetzer hara, but that's only befanav nafesh yitzrei. When you see something that you want, that's when the yetzer hara of gezel really overpowers you. Shelo befanav, but when it's not in front of you, when you don't see it, lo nafesh yitzrei. You don't have terrible yetzer hara for gezel. So main point number three, the source for not teaching arayos to three students is not from the pasuk ish ish, nor from the pasuk ushmartem. Rather, it's based on logic that the students will miss something important. At the end of the day, the third and final answer was that it's just logical that if you have three students, the two of them that are learning b'chavrusa will miss something really important. Main point number four, the desire for arayos and for stealing are the most potent desires, are the strongest desires, and arayos is even when it's not in front of you. Then the Mishnah said, "V'lo b'maisa bereishis b'shnayim." You're not allowed to teach about maisa bereishis, creation of the world, to even two students. Minani mili. How do I know that? The Tanu Rabban, because the Brisa says, "Ki sha'al na liyamim rishonim." It says you will ask. You in the singular will ask about the original days, the days of creation. Yachid shoel ve'in shnayim shoelin. Only an individual is allowed to ask about maisa bereishis, but not two people. You might think a person could ask about what happened before the world was created. You should only ask questions about things that have happened since creation, from the day God created man on this earth. You might think that means that we're not even allowed to ask about the 6 days of creation because man wasn't on this earth yet in the first 6 days of creation. That you're allowed to ask about the original days. You might think that you're allowed to ask what's above, what's below, what's what happened before, and what happened after. That's why the pasuk says, from one end of heaven to the other end of heaven, which teaches us that you're allowed to ask about what happens from one end of heaven to the other end, but we're not allowed to engage in discussions about what's above heaven and what's below level, certain levels of heaven, and what happened before the world and what happens after the world. These are things that are so beyond us, we have no context to possibly understand them. Let's go a little bit further. There has to be nafkalei milakseya shemayim, akseya shemayim, lemena yomer shabralokim adam ala aretz lamali. Once we already derive this halacha from the words milakseya shemayim, akseya shemayim, why do I need the additional phrase lemena yomer shabralokim adam ala aretz? So Gemara says, Kidra Blazer teaches what Blazer taught us. Damra Blazer, Blazer teaches us something astounding, which probably is not meant to be taken literally. Adam arishon mina aretz ad l'rakia. That Adam Rishon stood from the ground all the way up to the sky. Shenemar lemina yomer shabarlekim Adam ala aretz. From the day that Adam was created ala aretz. So he was giant. V'kivan shesarach, but once he did the Avera, hiniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu yadav alav umiyato. Hashem put his hand on Adam and minimized him. Shenemar achor v'kedem tzrasani v'tashas alai kapecha. That Adam says God put his hand on him. Amr Vidom Rav, Adam Rishon Misofa Olam Vat Sofo Haya, that Adam Rishon stretched from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Shnemar Lemina Yomer Shabarl Kim Adam Ala Aretz Ul Mikseya Shemaim Akseya Shemaim. That's the Pasuk talks about, that he goes from one end of heaven to the other. Kivan Shasarach, once he did the Avera of the Eitz Hadas, Hiniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yado Alav, God put his hand on him, Umiyato, and minimized him. Shenemar Vatasha Salai Kapecha. So says Gemara, well then, Ihachi Kashu Krai Yadadi. Then it's a contradiction in the Pesukim, because one Pasuk says he went from earth all the way to heaven, and the other one says he went from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Which is it? How big was Adam Rishon? Answer Gemara, Idividi Chachiruhu. It's the same size. The length from one end of the world to the other end of the world is the same size as from from earth all the way to heaven. So we'll stop this year there, but there's a lot to think about in terms of what the symbolism of that means, what it actually is talking about. What do you think that means?